This is the Recency Bias. Welcome to your morning after mini pod, following up a Habs 4-2 win on Monday night over the Toronto Maple Leafs, just as things were starting to look rather bleak for the Canadiens. A big win. A solid win. And earned a well-earned win for the Habs on Monday night. Again, 4-2 over the Leafs on trade deadline day, as Canadiens add a couple depth defensemen, as Marc Bergevin is wont to do. Erik Gustafsson coming from the Philadelphia Flyers for a 7th-round pick, I think. And previously, I think it was Sunday night, John Merrill acquired from Detroit for a 5th-rounder and a depth prospect. Gone from your Canadiens, the meat man, Victor Mete, not traded, grabbed off waivers by the Ottawa Senators, who he's already played a game for, and they won. They beat the Jets, so look at that, doing the Habs a favor. Few people, I think, saw some of the discourse, upset that Victor Mete is gone. I'm not going to lose too much sleep over the loss of Victor Mete. Thought that goal, maybe it's one of his last plays ever as a Canadian. The goal that he allowed against Winnipeg, Trevor Lewis's goal there, where he just out-muscled him. First he beat him off the blue line and out-muscled him. And you know, that's the kind of play that I don't think Victor Mete is an NHLer. He's about 5'9", 185 pounds, something like that. I think he's just too small for it to ever really work. You know, and if there had been enough offensive upside, had he scored more often, had he showed any promise there, I think you could make the exception. But he didn't find the back of the net all that often. He didn't really translate the skill that you did see there. You know, his ability to move the puck. He was a pretty fleet skater. But, like I said, I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. 4-2. The win over the Leafs, let's focus on that on a night that a bit of a shakeup once again for Dom Ducharme of the lineup. Kotkaniemi moving back to center. Jake Evans actually going to the wing. Also all kinds of shakeup throughout the lineup. Of course, Paul Byron and Arturi Lehkonen still on the team. There had been speculation in the weeks leading up to the trade deadline that Byron and Lehkonen could be on the move. Though once Gallagher got injured and was put on the LTIR, the salary cap no longer a huge issue. It seems less likely, I think, that Lehkonen and Byron would be going anywhere, but they're still on the team, and Byron actually had himself a really solid night. Lehkonen played pretty well, too, but Byron, a two-point night, he was looking very determined out there. You know, you gotta feel for Byron. He's been on the waiver wire. He's not having a great season. Been on the waiver wire a few times, but he keeps fighting, and you know, he wears that letter not for his play, but for his determination. And I thought particularly showed it on Monday night, and you know, the fact that he's still with the team, I find kind of surprising. I thought Paul Byron had likely played some of his final games with the Canadiens a week or two ago, but hey, not the case. Still no Nylander in the lineup for the Leafs on Monday. COVID-related reasons, as Jack Campbell and Jake Allen. Jack v. Jake, the goaltenders for this one. Jack Campbell's reign of terror in the North, a.k.a. his 10-game winning streak to start his career with the Leafs, has come to an end, and it was the Habs who put an end to it. Though in the early going, Shea Weber was doing his best to not make that the case, trying to give up that first goal, as the Canadiens have done more than you'd like to see recently. He was bailed out by Kotkaniemi, and then a little pressure and a little luck, as Alex Galchenyuk, he now of the Maple Leafs, kicked it right to Tatar after some good work down low by Deneau. Tatar pots it, his 9th of the year, the first shot of the game for either team, and a minute 17 in, the Habs have themselves a 1-0 lead. High-sticking penalty go against the Leafs shortly after that, and the Canadians would go to the man advantage, and on that power play, it's Suzuki with his 8th of the season, his 4th on the power play this year, coming from what is starting to look like his office. At that right-side circle. That was actually the second consecutive shot he got off there. He missed on his first, puck went around, came back out, Drouin was able to get it over to Weber, who got it to Suzuki, and he didn't miss on that second one. I was yelling at Drouin on that play. Wanted him closer to the net. He actually might have had a goal on his own if he just got closer to the net, got a little Gallagher on the thing, but he was able to feed it back out to Weber, and Weber got it over to the kid, and the kid got his 8th of the year. Habs will get a second power play in that first period as the Leafs will get caught with too many men. They were struggling all night long with their line changes. Habs wouldn't make anything of that. Those would be the only two power plays they'd get on the night, but hey, they made one of them count as they outshot the Leafs 12-3 in the first frame, 15-5 with the scoring chances according to Natural Stat Trick, and high danger chances, 6-1. For the Canadians, they scored one goal on the power play, expecting a Leafs pushback in the second, and it did come, though it took a little while, but midway through, it was Marner to Matthews, and Suzuki was caught watching. Matthews scored his 32nd of the season. He's a goddamn terror. He's just scary almost every time he has the puck. It's not just the creepy mustache that makes him scary. 32 on the season now, and I think they've played like 43 games. Ridiculous. I think Marner got his 39th point or something like that on that goal. Yuck. Yuck and yuck. And it wouldn't stop there. No, some yuck shitty defensive work and some weak-ass puck control by Allen on a puck that just kind of bounced around in the paint for a second. More than a second, felt like. And the Habs skaters, they forgot to try and at least take a Leafs player. So Tavares was able to sneak in. 2-2. Habs had a couple of chances to clear it right before that, too. A frustrating one that made you think, oh, shit, this thing's probably going to fall apart. It didn't. That was the good news. The Leafs kept coming, though, and a lucky break again a bit. As Kulak blocked a shot that essentially turned into an up-ice pass to Josh Anderson. He takes off and beats Jack Campbell 3-2 the score, and credit to Kulak, who once he made that block shot, recognized what was happening and skated up pretty hard with Anderson, forcing the at least one defenseman for Toronto to play it, kind of like a 2-on-1. By the time the second defenseman came back, Anderson had a little bit of space to beat Campbell, score his 4th goal in 6 games, and after 40 minutes, it was Habs with a 3-2 advantage, though the second period, the pushback from the Leafs did come. They outshot the Habs 13-7, led 13-9 in scoring chances, 8-6 high danger, and would get one shot on their one power play in that period. Leafs actually did not score on either power play on the night. They'd get two. The Habs penalty kill was pretty effective, and it had to be in that third period as Drouin would take a tripping penalty 7 minutes into the period. Again, another moment where you thought, ah, crap. This is it, isn't it? This is where they climb back. Just, you know, the narrative of Drouin taking that highly ill-advised penalty at a real bad time. But no, they killed it off pretty effectively. And then they'd get to go on a bit of attack of their own. Anderson barely missed, or he missed a wide open net. He barely missed a wide open net, but it's weird to say barely missed when he had all the cage there. It was a really beautiful pass from Kotkaniemi to set that up. And another moment, you're like, crap. That was their opportunity to put this thing away, and they didn't. Drouin would get a chance too. He didn't. Suzuki had a really, really nice chance on just a bunch of digging and work from, I think it was Tatar set him up, but Campbell with a huge save in that scenario. Just massive. And again, another opportunity squandered. Leafs are dangerous, and it looked like Galchenyuk had a chance with 3 minutes left. He missed, though, because Alex Galchenyuk. And they pulled Campbell really early, about 2.5 minutes to go. And Campbell's just coming out. They didn't have possession. Montreal immediately took possession and buried it into the old empty net. Tatar. With his 10th of the season. The rest of the way was mostly Romanov dishing out the body. Nice hit on Bogosian. Worked on Austin Matthews in the final seconds. And he actually had a really nice hit on Marner early in the third period as well. He's using his strength these days. I've been liking the play of Romanov last few games. And I thought he had a really effective one, especially effective third period against the Leafs on Monday night. Nice win. Nice win for the Canadiens. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't listen last episode. It was brief and it was not, I was not happy. But beating the Leafs, that always puts you in a good mood. Shots were even 25-25 in this one. Scoring chances, according to Natural Stat Trick, went 31-28 in favor of the Canadiens. The 5v5 scoring chances were 25-24 in favor of Montreal. High danger scoring chances, 16-13. Going the Canadiens' way. Habs, again, 1-for-2 on the power play, and both penalty kills effective against the Leafs, whose power play should be potent, should be deadly, has been struggling a little bit as of late. I don't know if since they played the Canadiens, it kicked into gear at all, but I know in that last game, prior to this, they'd been struggling that as of late. A little bit of holding and interference calls that I thought the Leafs are getting away with on the night, to be honest with you. Especially Matthews a couple times, I thought. But, you know, interference, holdings, anything like that, it's easy to see that one with biased eyes. And I'm going to have very biased eyes when we're watching the Leafs. So do with that what you will. Other things happening around the North Division that had an effect on the Habs on Monday night, well, Victor Mete and the Ottawa Senators beat the Jets. I don't know if the Habs really have a chance at the Jets. Jets are quite a ways up. And they only play the Jets one more time. So they had a bunch of games coming up against the Jets. You could see maybe, but might be tough. But hey, the Sens did beat them on Monday night. So Canadians do move 2 points closer in that respect. Big one coming up against the Flames, though. Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Flames, he was definitely a seller on trade deadline day. So the Flames acting as though they're out of it. And frankly, I mean, that's what they should have been doing. They are most likely out of it. But they have a lot of games coming up against the team they're chasing. That would be the Habs, who have 2 games in hand and do sit 7 points up. So you can understand where Treliving's coming from when he made himself a seller on Monday. But starting Wednesday, they'll be 7 o'clock start against the Flames, and then it's a Friday, a 6 o'clock start against the Flames. Yeah, 6 o'clock. Keep that in mind for Friday night. Saturday, Ottawa at 4 p.m. So weird, weird week coming up as far as the schedule goes. But after that, much more of the Flames. 5 of the next 8 games, including those two that I mentioned this week, are all against Calgary. So obviously that could swing things a lot if the Canadiens perform really poorly in those games. Don't want to see it. Don't want to even think about that. Following up a night in which they beat the Leafs in a nice, convincing fashion. I mean, they didn't spank them or anything, but they played a good, solid game against them. I thought, for the most part, not a ton to complain about. Yeah, the Leafs had their pushback, but as we said last time, the Leafs are a damn good team. And for the most part, Canadians outworked them, outplayed them on Monday night. They'll have to keep doing that. Sometimes they do that. Sometimes they don't do that. They did it on Monday night, so we're happy. I don't know what to make of this team. It seems Marc Bergevin doesn't either. When asked at the press conference following the trade deadline, and he was talking, you know, he was asked about his team, and he said, some nights they look great, and some nights I don't understand what's going on. They look confused, and I'm paraphrasing just a little there. I don't remember the exact quote, but it was that. It was that in spirit, and that's... That's what I've been saying. I'm sure that's what you've been saying. Don't really ever know what to make of this team. On Monday night, a very solid version of the Canadiens showed up to beat the Leafs. So take that and The streak's over, Jack Campbell. Glad to have ended that. Jake Allen going 23-25 on the night, a 920 save percentage. In that win, he was good. He was solid. He made some key saves at key moments. He had trouble finding the puck a couple times, but I'm not going to complain about Allen's performance on the night. Big Tuna, Thomas Tatar with 2 goals, numbers 9 and 10 on the season. Suzuki with his 8th. Anderson potted number 15, as I mentioned off the top. Paul Byron with 2 assists. Drouin, Deneau, Petrie, Weber, Kulak, all adding helpers on the evening as well. Ice time from the centers, it was all pretty even after the first 2 periods. Each player in 11, 12 minutes, if I remember right. But by the time the third rolled around, it was all Deneau. You can understand why Dom Ducharme wanting to shut down the Leafs' highly terrifying forwards in that third period. So Deneau wound up leading all centers with 18:32. Kotkaniemi in second on that one, 14 minutes, 34 seconds. Kotkaniemi, a nice night in the faceoff circle. I think he was something like 9 for 15. A solid night. Not so much for Suzuki. He struggled in the faceoff circle again as he played 13:44. And Eric Staal, that fourth line center, coming in with 12 minutes and 12 seconds played. Anderson led all forwards with 19:06, and rightfully so. Anderson was a menace for the Leafs all night. He seemed to just be creating things left, right, and center. As I said, he missed one golden opportunity, but he was creating a lot of chances and just kind of wreaking havoc as the Canadiens, anytime the Anderson was really on the ice, it seemed like it was tilted their way. A solid night from him. Solid night from Edmondson, too, who led all skaters, 26:46 played. Can't complain about Edmondson these days. Can't say the same thing for Shea Weber, but Edmondson has been playing pretty solid hockey as of late. He seems to have found his spot doing the things that he needs to be doing, and counted on in a big way on Monday, 26:46 on the night. That'll do it till Wednesday as they take on the Calgary Flames again. Or not again, take on the Calgary Flames for the first time of what will become again and again and again and again and again. 5 times in the next 8 big, big games, the Canadiens can lock in officially their playoff position at that point. Kind of seems like the North is already settled. And if that's the case, then the team that the Habs beat on Monday night is who they will meet in the first round. Leafs, Habs, in the playoffs, holy shit, it's been a long time. It seems like it's probably going to happen unless the Flames do some dirty damage coming up. You ready for that? Are Eric Gustafson and John Merrill ready for that? Am I ready for that living in Toronto? Not really, but, you know, the old Pandy will still be raging, I assume, at that point, so... Not like I'll be out in the streets annoyed by the whole thing, I guess. Yeah, Leafs-Habs really starting to seem like an inevitability, which is kind of nuts because there's like 19 games left in the season. But things do seem like they're kind of starting to solidify up here. Okay, till Thursday, following up that Flames game. Take care.